equal for digit
Go
sure.
ahead, start again, Tom. 7:32.
I'm calling the meeting to order at 7:32 p.m. and I'm appointing Ria Klein in place of Arlene Fiano.
And Mr. Manning, for the record, can we just say that the regular members who are present in the room are Tom Manning, Marilee Manning, Ellie King, Kwan Gordon, and Eric Loveland. And online with us is alternate Rhea Klein, and that's constituting the commission tonight.
Yes.
You.
Okay, the next item of business is the approval of minutes of the April 8th regular meeting.
Mr. Chair, I make a motion to approve the April 8th, 2026 meeting minutes with one modification to point line two. It just looks like it's a little typo, February 11th, 2026. Looks like we have a letter O in the minutes.
And there is also in item 7B, John Marino shared that his landscaping business, JM, just JM, not JAM, Landscaping Connecticut.
One other than, yeah, that needs to be changed in the others present in person too.
Yeah.
And also, how do we spell the name Lloyd? LLOYD. Line one on the first page. EDC members absent. LLOYD.
I had a couple as well. Can just
So I will retract my motion and
there
take
you go.
four sets of corrections.
You had more, Ellie?
Yeah, so can we change it so it just says in person since the Zoom link didn't work last month? Is that do we need to make that correction? Because technically the public couldn't get in.
No, because
Okay.
it's reflected in the minutes somewhere, isn't it? The
I think
the
she is
meeting
a
heading is the same meeting heading as the agenda usually. So if you want to note that the public couldn't get in somewhere, did you
yeah.
note that somewhere or no?
I didn't see it.
I didn't notice it either.
Because we just said that we would postpone opening the public hearing. We didn't provide like a
Say
reason why.
why? Okay.
I agree.
Yeah, so if we could just note that somewhere. And then for
Did you note?
staff,
Did you
sorry.
notice that at the call to order, Tom, at that point?
What?
Did you notice that the link wasn't working as of the call to order?
Last one. Yeah, it was difficult, even from
Right.
the
So, I mean,
beginning.
you could just add something after the call to order that said the Zoom link was not working, if you wanted to just make that note.
Yeah, that's
How
great.
about Zoom link was inoperable?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then for staff present via Zoom, I don't think that Jim Rupert attended. I feel like someone just used his Zoom account.
That is correct. That was Mike.
Okay. And then
So Jim wasn't at the presentation for
no.
the
Or
A24 stuff?
was it Jim? Didn't Jim eventually get onto the call through Zoom? Wasn't he a participant in the Zoom itself? I thought because there was a couple questions that came up. So I believe he
That
actually.
different Jim,
Oh,
right?
I didn't he
Jim
walk in?
Rupert. I was talking about Jim Rupert because I think Jim Lorsch answered some of my questions.
I think Jim Rupert came on to the
Oh,
Zoom call to address some of the questions, if I recall correctly. Because there was a couple of clarifying questions and I had a question and he provided a response. So when the first selectman
oh,
tapped
but
on Jim Rupert for a couple of assistant responses, is my recollection.
I listened to the tape and I thought I heard his voice on there, but I
Oh,
wasn't
well,
there,
so
so.
you should be able to verify that from the record.
Was it on because of the soccer fields when
Yeah, that's when he would have been on.
Rodney
Okay.
Fortier?
Yeah, that portion.
Yeah, happy to be wrong there. I didn't go back and listen, so. But the other thing in the soccer field, so 7A, the second paragraph, in my notes, I wrote that the Board of Selectmen was not planning to hold a public hearing.
That is also my recollection because I specifically asked about that to the first selectman.
I think you are right. I remember that also.
And that they were not planning to have a public hearing.
Again, that could be double checked. Yeah. That fourth one, your motion just was.
Which was retracted several minutes back.
It is hard to take minutes from a recording, though. So you mean
Well,
no disrespect
she
at
was
all.
present though, wasn't she? Oh no, she couldn't get on, could she?
She couldn't get on.
Okay. All right.
Okay, and it also said I appointed P. Rutledge for Josh Lloyd when it was Jim Cropley, because when it opened, Jim wasn't here.
Yeah. Yes.
And I wouldn't have appointed an alternate for
For an
alternate.
alternate. So, did you appoint anybody?
Yes. Yeah, I appointed Peyton Rutledge for Jim Cropley.
Oh, for Cropley, sorry.
And then Jim came in later,
Think that was
and he wrote, and so that's, yeah, never mind.
reflected in this.
So do
Yeah, that's in the right at the
we
beginning.
need to note? I'm confused. I just don't know how this works. If so, Peyton was unseated when Jim Crappie got here.
Right.
Do we have to write that down, or is it enough to just say
It's
that he
enough to
arrived
just say
seven
that
three six? Okay.
he arrived, yeah.
She was unseated.
Rough to be
Do you want to take up these minutes or do you want me to clarify the couple of questions you have? Or...
I think we should clarify a couple of questions and take them up at the next meeting.
I
Okay.
agree. So the clarification is whether or not the Board of Selectmen is going to hold a public hearing,
Right.
whether or not Jim Rupert was there.
On the Zoom. He was not present in person.
Right. Yeah, it says he's present via Zoom on this. So the question is, was he even you're and somebody's questioning whether he's even there, right?
Correctly, that's one of the
Yeah, because I recall that I think Mike had to get on using Jim's Zoom
Correct.
account.
Right.
And so that made me think that Jim wasn't there. Because there weren't like there was no one there via Zoom because no one could get the link. So we had to like invite him. It was all very confusing.
Okay, so the what else besides those two items do you want clarified?
I think that was it from at least from me. Thank you.
Yeah, that appears to be it.
Okay, so I will at the next meeting, you'll see these minutes again for approval plus the minutes for tonight's meeting.
Yes.
Okay.
All right, item number three, residents forum. Jim Lursch, do you have anything to say?
I'm all set. A little confusing, but I'm all set. Thank you.
That's good.
Okay.
Staff reports.
Oh, forgot about the staff reports. Let's see. Well, a lot of it's been the housing stuff, obviously. And I will get into that when we get down to the subdivision regulations. But in addition to that, getting my notes out here. Oops, it's not right. Let's see. We had different items for review on some of the committees we are working on. One was Bolton, the town of Bolton was asked to review the Office of Policy and Management's preliminary housing growth plan guidelines and if we had any comments. So those were reviewed and comments were sent. I had to work with the assessor on matching up some parcels with the correct zoning information, which was incorrect when they moved over from the old GIS system to the new GIS system, which we're working toward making live shortly. So
Okay.
we had all of the area in the GMUIZ and the RMUZ was incorrect. So she had to go through and hand do them, and I had to just help her with making sure which properties were which. We had to do cyber training the last couple of weeks. We, as part of the brownfields stuff that we do with CROG, there was an actual application from another town. One of the 32 towns applies for an application, then the Browns, they send it out and have us review it. And it was fine. There wasn't really any issues with that, but it was reviewed. It was Economic Development Week last week, and there was a three-part webinar series put on by CETUS, which was some of it was interesting. One of them was regarding housing, which is very timely right now. One was regarding Main Street, which is a little difficult in our town since we don't technically have a Main Street. And the third one was just about generation of working with your neighbors in secondary towns. And, I spoke about, we were able to speak. So I spoke a little bit about our Connecticut Countryside Initiative on that. We've had a request for a bond release at One Notch Road, which has been referred to the town engineer. We've had more meetings with the owners and attorneys for 366 Boston Turnpike. Also spoke to a developer regarding housing at 1100 Boston Turnpike. That's again. Continued work on Cider Mill and just the housing regs, like I said. So it's been pretty busy. I cannot speak to what Mike has been working on regarding zoning violations and that he does that on his own. I know he's had some things he's been working on, so I just don't know what they are. And he told me he couldn't be here tonight. He has an appeal that is taken, and when that happens, he has to attend the appeals. So
Teresa, I have a question. So when it was introduced that we were going to a new GIS system, I think it's what two prior meeting sessions back, I had a question which was answered about if there was a cost or subscription to actually access GIS. I was told no. However, my follow-up question that came in my mind. Is there a certain cost to the town itself for this new GIS?
So there is a cost for maintenance of the GIS and to make sure that the assessor's records continually match what is on the GIS. So when you go in and you click on a property and you want to see the assessor's card or you want to see the zoning information or whatever you want to see about it, there is a cost for the maintenance of those records to make sure that they are matched and it's live. It used to not be live. It used to be updated, I think, like something crazy, like once a year, if that. So the information, we always caution people when they look online and they call us with a question and they say, oh, I see, blah, blah, blah. And we'd have to caution them that that information may not be exactly correct. So we always make sure people call and let us know. So I don't know what the cost is, Kwan, but you could ask Mike might know next time he's here, or it is in the budget. So
Would that be the Board of Selectmen budget or
I think it's the I think it's in the administrator's budget, or it may actually be a partially shared thing between building and assessor's office. because both
Okay.
offices are going to be, more offices than that are going to be using it, but we would be the main building and assessor will be the main usage.
All right,
But
thank
like
you.
you said, anybody will be able to get on it for free. You won't, just like you can now.
Very good, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, and were you at some point going to make a presentation on HB 8002?
I can give you what we've been working on. Do you
Well,
want to do that now or are you going to do the public hearing?
not tonight. I thought we were going to have that as a, you know, as an item on the agenda
I can give you,
because it was so big.
right, I can give you some of what we've been working on because we do have some questions for you.
Okay.
I figured we'd do that under the ongoing Bolton subdivision and zoning regulations discussion.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, next up.
Can I ask a question
Yes.
before we move on?
Sure.
Patrice, at some point you had said that I think the Board of Selectmen wanted to get all the land use agencies together. Do you know anything about has that moved forward? I think they said maybe they wanted to wait till the budget was done, which
Yes, that was the
no.
last that I heard as they were waiting till the
Okay.
budget gets done. When's your is your first referendum next Tuesday?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So maybe a better idea after that happens.
Okay.
I'm
Yeah.
not
I was
sure,
just
but
curious.
yeah.
Let's see if I got.
Are those webinars something that we can have access to? Or that, were they recorded or anything? Is it something that would be useful to any of us?
What is that?
The webinars you mentioned earlier about economic development?
I don't know if they sent them out. If they did not send them out, a lot of times they are available on the CDIS website. Eric, I can take a look and send you links if you'd like.
Yeah, sure. Thanks.
Yep.
Okay, we postponed the public hearing on amendments to the zoning regulations, Article 18 signage. And we are taking that up now.
So you are going to reopen the public hearing or open the public hearing?
Yeah, the way it's written, we postponed it, so we have to actually open it.
Okay.
And this is the call. Bolton Planning and Zoning Commission will hold a public hearing on Wednesday, April 8th, now deferred to tonight, at 7:30 p.m. virtually and in the Town Hall, 222 Bolton Center Road, Bolton, Connecticut, to consider amendments to the zoning regulations, Article 18 signage, number PL-26-1. It's on file for review in the Bolton Land Use Department and on the town's website. All interested parties may attend virtually or in person and testify or submit written testimony. Has there been any written testimony?
There has not been any written testimony. There was a report filed by the Capital Region Council of Governments. Any regulation amendment needs to be referred to the zoning regulation amendment, not subdivision, needs to be referred to the Capital Region Council of Governments. And that was done. And on February 5th, they sent a letter back. Reporting that they have received and reviewed, and the staff of the Regional Planning Commission of the Capital Count Regional Region Council of Governments has reviewed the zoning referral and finds no apparent conflict with regional plans and policies or the concerns of neighboring towns. That was their final action on this, and we did also notify, as required, the abutting towns. We didn't receive any comments from them either.
All right. At this point, is there any member of the public that would like to testify on this matter? Hearing none.
Just want to
Yes.
note for the record that this is a complete rewrite of the sign regulations, hoping to make them easier to understand and use for the public and businesses. And yeah, I guess that's it.
And having no input from the public, is there anything that we need to discuss at this time?
I just want to note, Rhea's on the call, right? Rhea can take part in the public hearing. She just can't vote. So if she had anything she wanted to add or say, she may do that.
Well, she's been seated.
Oh, I'm sorry. Excuse me. You're right. Of course she has. Sorry. Take that back.
May I ask an operational procedural question?
Yes.
If we don't have a quorum, or
We do have a
we
quorum.
do
You have a
have,
quorum.
I thought we were discussing whether or not we had a quorum.
Well, it's I believe that for seven member board, it's four, and there's no for this particular public hearing, there's no special reason that we have to have the full board.
Okay, so for the public hearing we can vote. Okay.
Yes.
I thought we okay. I guess I was
Yeah.
confused. It sounded like we weren't sure that four
No, no.
was a quorum or not.
Yeah, it's a majority of the membership. So the membership is seven with three alternates.
Thank you.
All right, then. Yes, Ria.
No, I just wanted you to know I'm here. I just couldn't make it
Yeah,
tonight,
we know you're here.
but
We
I'm
know you're
here. Okay.
here. Okay, then. As there's no discussion from the public and no further discussion that we need to have on this. I move that the public hearing be closed.
Second.
Seconded, Kwong Gordon. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none. Motion is approved 600. And that moves us to our item number 6A, discussion possible decision on amendments to the zoning regulations regarding signage.
Just a general statement for this section. So I think we did a lot of work, especially the prior session of this commission. Last year we did a lot of work and effort Obviously, in partnership with help from Patrice and Mike, I think we had a good model that we adopted and tailored for our use here in Bolton. So I think we probably did a really good thorough assessment of seeing what needed to be changed. I think it helps promote these changes that we're looking to implement, helps to promote more content neutral signage, and it makes it easier for folks to have more free will and less and is less restrictive.
Well said. Is there any other discussion?
All I would ask as staff is if you do pass the regulation to make it effective June 1st, it's
Yep,
just easier if we
I have that
make
motion.
okay. And just so people understand why we have to publish this in the newspaper, the decision, it takes 14 days. And so that gives us enough time to do that and then get to June 1st.
I make a motion to approve the amendments to the Bolton Zoning Regulations, Article 18 signage, as presented in application number PL-26-1, effective June 1st, 2026. I second that and seconded Marilyn. Marilyn Manning. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? And the chair votes aye. It's approved. The motion is approved 600. And I don't think there's any new business. And so the next thing would be to go on to the ongoing discussion, Bolton Subdivision and Zoning Regulations.
Right, Mr. Chairman. So we are working on putting together a housing regulation that is going to meet the requirements of the new bill from the legislature, which addresses housing in commercial zones or mixed-use zones mainly. Some of the things that we need answers to. Let me just give a little bit of background. And as you may or may not know, the bill is not well written, and there are very a lot of opinions out there about what it actually says. If you ask three attorneys, you're going to get a different interpretation from each one. So, as planners, I don't want to say we're winging it, but we're doing the best we can with what we have to work with. So, we have. It seems to be the best way to address the new bill because it is requiring a summary review, which means basically an as of right approval. The best way to look at that is to get criteria that you would like met for that summary review of housing in a commercial or mixed use zone. So, thinking about this, we're sort of taking a form-based approach to it, and how the regulations would be drafted would ha they would have standards so that somebody would need to meet those standards in order to gain approval for their projects. The summary review is does not allow for a public hearing. It is, I think, even less stringent than a site plan. If somebody comes in and they meet the your summary, it's more like a subdivision, I guess. If they meet your standards, they get approval. So it's important to sort of think of the standards that you think are what you want things to look like or see when somebody comes in with a project. I don't know how much of this we're actually going to get in our commercial zones. However, I will say along Route 44, you have commercial zones that encumber some houses. There you've got some businesses that are actually in old houses. The law firm of, oh my God, it's going to escape me his name, David. Anyway, there's a law firm that's in a house. If he decides he doesn't want to practice there anymore, that could go into some kind of housing. You've got, there's a veterinary clinic or somebody who does doggy dental stuff or something like that.
I'm 44,
At,
yeah.
again, in a house. So if the commercial use of that becomes, if they're done with it, then and they want to turn it into housing, those are things that might happen. I'm not sure you're going to get a lot of people coming in wanting to build a lot of housing in the commercial zones, but we have to be ready for it in case it does happen. So you want to be sure. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry, I just thought of it. And if I don't say it, I won't remember. That triangular piece of land right on the Coventry Bolton border that was adjacent to the farm stand, and is that still available?
Yes. Yeah. And that's RMUZ. So it's rural mixed use zone. So it would qualify as part of
Okay.
this. Yep.
And is that owned by Mr. Leidica?
No, Mr. Latika does not own any other
It was
property
owned
in
by the
town
tree
anymore.
guy.
It was owned by the tree guy, and I believe it's still owned by the tree guy.
Oh,
Yeah.
yeah,
I don't
tree
think
guy
he ever
down
sold
south
it.
street.
I don't think he ever sold it.
I wonder what his plans are.
Well, they may change as of July. Who knows?
Yeah.
So, anyway, you want to, you, in allowing these and setting standards, you want to make sure that you're appropriate next to some commercial uses. You know, will the site function adjacent next to a commercial use? Are the people living in that housing that are going to be next to a commercial use going to be impacted by the commercial use? Those sort of things. So, thinking about things like setbacks and buffers and where the parking should be and what you want it to look like and those sort of things. So building siting criteria and standards, what you think would be acceptable there. Should the building be set back? Should the building be close to the street? Should the building be equal to the surrounding buildings? So for example, if you have a line of buildings in the commercial zone and there's an empty lot, do you want the buildings to all line up or would you prefer the building to have a more of a setback? Where should the parking be? You know, a lot of commercial uses have parking right out in front in a big parking lot. Some of them have on the side, some of them have in the back. Does it matter to you where the parking should be? Because again, you're in a commercial zone. So does that even matter where you want to see it? The type of buildings we want to allow. Do we want to allow duplexes, triplexes, fourplexes, multiplex? The bill, I think, requires you, I'd have to check with Mike on this, but I'm pretty sure it requires us to allow for cottage cluster buildings, which are homes that are clustered around something. I don't know if we have any properties that are big enough to create a cottage cluster kind of thing in the commercial zone, but you know, we'll have to see. And then conversions, you have to allow cottage clusters, and you have to allow the conversion of an existing commercial building if that's what they want to do with it as housing. So again, getting back to the criteria, setbacks, building materials and design, you know, what kind of facade do you want to see? What kind of roof type, if that matters? Do you want a gable? Do you want, you know, flat roofs? Do you want Dutch colonial? Does it matter? Again, does it matter? Window types, unit configurations. What else am I? Screening and buffers. If we're going to put in, if something has been a commercial use all this time and there's a commercial use next to it, and now you're putting housing in it, do you want to buffer the housing from the commercial use to the side of it? The summary review would qualify for anybody that comes in with a plan from 2 to 9 units, which, if you think about the size of our lots in the commercial zone, that's probably not going to be hard to do. And you might not get much more than that in a lot of the commercial lots because they're smaller. So 2 to 9 units is basically summary review. You meet the criteria, you get approval. No public hearing.
Did, when you talk about units, if you have multi, if you have like a triplex, is that one unit or three?
I think it's three.
Okay. Yeah,
Yeah.
dwelling units.
Yeah,
Okay.
it's number of units as opposed to number of buildings.
Okay.
So
What happens if you go over 9 units?
then you can it's you set into a different approval. I believe it then goes into site plan.
How about access to how it affects traffic? Does that have anything to do with this, the zoning?
Well, so yes and no. The traffic thing is going to be interesting for our commercial zones because most of them are on state roads. If you think about it, 44,
Six.
86, right? The neighborhood business zones, which I think you can qualify as commercial zones, that's a state route too, right?
85.
85, yeah. So I think it'd be very limited about anything that's not. So the traffic stuff is going to really probably be handled by the state. And probably also if it's in a commercial zone, Marilee, and it's an existing commercial building, let's say, and they want to convert it, you're going to have less traffic with a housing development more than likely than you would with a commercial development. But I think you can ask for, parking require park traffic studies. So I'm going to share my screen here for just a minute because I want you to see some of the if I can figure out where the share is. Here we go. This is one of the tables. So this is a building. Oh God, make it bigger. So this is one of the tables we were sort of playing with here. So you can see this is building siting criteria for duplex and triplex. So you've got, multiple principal buildings. Are they permitted or not permitted? Minimum front lot line coverage. Do you have a percentage? Front build to zone, that would be where you make the building come to the front line or to the setback versus pushing it back beyond the setback. You have some minimum side, rear, and lot setbacks, lot width, building width, coverage, impervious area, parking, number of curb cuts for vehicular access. Again, if this is on a state road, we don't get a lot of say in that. Number of stories or height for the buildings, any kind of building separation, and maximum unit size. You can't make it a minimum, but you can make it a maximum. And so this is just an example here. You've got the street, you've got an existing setback on this one here. You can possibly give it some kind of range if you wanted to. So we want the building. So let's say you had these two on the ends are existing setbacks. This one's way in the back. This one's way in the front. Maybe you don't want this to line up somehow. Maybe you want it to sort of be in the middle, whatever. I mean, those kind of things you can do with this about for criteria for setbacks. So this is the sort of the stuff we need a little bit of input on. I mean, Mike and I can put numbers in and sort of make the decisions for you to give you something to look at. We're just not really sure what direction you all want to go in and what's I feel like this commission is very open to allowing almost any form of housing and in diversity, the way it looks, the way it fits in with where it is, and as at how however many units they can muster. Am I wrong? I just feel like you're pretty open
Yeah,
to housing.
that's my understanding. Yes.
Okay. So I mean, unless there's something that's really you really want to see addressed or you really think is important to address as far as any of these types of categories, we kind of need to know that. Otherwise, we can sort of put together something that mirrors the commercial zone the way it is and it for setbacks or allows how whatever type of structure they want to put in.
When I have an issue, and I don't know where it fits into this conversation, is that when my big thing, and has been for years and years and years, is affordable housing. Affordability is an issue that is addressed in different ways, funding, ease of getting loans, et cetera, like that. But part of that, in my mind, is also the cost of actually constructing a building, because there are ways to build a I'm not talking about cheapness, meaning inferior product or design. I'm talking about ways that you can efficiently design a structure given a knowledge of what zoning, what kind of permits are going to be required, also where all the newest regulations come into play, that we as lay people, I'm talking about myself, aren't aware of, where if we say, I keep remembering that presenter who was saying, don't make it ugly, make sure that you put in lots of, aesthetically pleasing things. But what might be traditionally aesthetic pleasing things might be more expensive and actually ruin the whole model for affordable housing. Whereas if we do a real study on roof lines, on profiles, on all kinds of small things that seem like they're small, but could really affect the cost of building a building and not making it affordable. In other words, I'm telling you, talk to my husband, because I have learned a lot about the fact how just building a box type building, maybe giving it some aesthetically pleasing finishes that make it look a little more complicated than it really is. But how, if you start to cut into the roof lines, if you start to cut in, like with pulling part of the profile out and recessing others, because of all things, and you would never guess this, because of insulation and the way that we're required to insulate our buildings now with new regulations, it can enormously affect the cost of actually constructing these things. And so that's one thing I want to be on the list, is like, not only to emphasize getting the building done in the with other ways of making it affordable, but also look at these basic designs and saying, can we save money here? Can we save money there? What if you didn't put in this? What if you had this kind of roof line? All that kind of stuff is something that, developers have maybe not thought of before. I'm sure many have thought very hard about it, but others maybe not. And so when I was listening to that gentleman speak, he was an attorney, about this is, traditional kind of things. Well, sometimes traditional costs, and we can make wonderful looking buildings for less if we know what we're doing. And maybe we can have that thrown in as perhaps a variable in design choices that contractors might have. Am I making any sense here? Yes.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. I just don't know how you regulate that. And affordable housing has always been an issue. Unfortunately, this housing bill does not address that.
Right.
It is not required of it. It does
I
not
know.
address it. It allows for, the conversion of an existing building. I don't know if that's cheaper or not than building new. Sometimes it's not. And it depends on, I think, where the building is as to what you might or might not want it to look like. I don't know how much control you want, but I mean, these are some of the building types we've kind of put together to, they're very different, obviously looking. I think there's another one here. This is the cottage cluster situation on the right. and there's, you know, three sort of different types of buildings. Is one of these cheaper to build than the other? I'm not the person that can tell you that. That would be a builder. And they would be the ones to tell you know, what are the things, and I will also say this, every builder will tell you different things as to what they feel makes a building cost more. If you look at the bottom line here, these are like these could be commercial conversions. So, for example, this one on the right, this is the existing commercial building with the flat roof. Maybe you fancy it up a bit to make it look like housing. I mean, somebody going to want to live in this if you don't do anything to the facade? That's the other question. So, you know, they want to build something that somebody is going to want to live in, and pay rent in or buy if they're going to sell them. But, you know, things like,
Maybe we can offer a review of their plans, with that sort of aim in mind. In other words, let's see what you're planning, and let's see what, you know, what's your thought here? You know, what do you?
well, in order to do it as of right, they have to have
An
a
idea of
specific
where,
standard, and once you meet the standard, you're done. We don't get any more review. We can't say we like this or not. It meets the standard. So that's why we're doing, well, she's asking to look at all this.
Yeah, one of the things that's one of the other tr current trends is this demand for energy efficiency is going to affect the buildings, and it's not just insulation, but it's the air barrier. And the air barrier has to be continuous. So if you make this very interesting facade that has all these ins and outs, it's very difficult to get a continuous air barrier. So what people are doing is they're building boxes. And then, you know, varying the finished
Facade.
materials to give it
Yeah.
interest and colors.
Right. And Tom, I would think that's what this bottom one is here. If you will, they just basically, well, they changed the window and the door pattern, and they put this up on the facade to break up the roof line a little bit. But that's more of a facade thing, I would think, and doesn't require the air barrier that you're talking about. Something like this one on the left, I don't know. You know, you are changing the roof line, so that may affect what you're talking about, unless you're just adding a false roof up there to change it. You know, this building probably already has some sort of barrier. And I'm not sure if you're converting, and you probably know this better because of what you do, but if you're converting the building on the left into the building on the right, do you have to meet the air barrier code because the building's
Well,
existing?
yes, and the reason for it is this. If you change the use, say, from a retail store to a restaurant, and you do not touch the exterior envelope, all you do is rearrange the inside, don't have to meet the energy code, current energy code. It gets to remain. You convert it to housing instantly, it's got to meet all the new standards. And the reason for that is that people spend most of their time at home.
Right. And it's a different use category, right? Yeah.
Well, it's not just that it's a different use, it's that it's residential.
Residential. Right.
Because,
And you're right.
and
They spend
that's,
more time at home. Exactly.
so there's more heating, more air conditioning, more everything. So, you know, certain commercial buildings might lend themselves to that, and some might not. Did you know that Deans are not planning to build or rebuild their plant
Who
over
is?
there on 85? The Deans, the burnt out building,
They are planning to rebuild it?
they are not.
They are not. Yes, I did know that. We have people coming in talking to us weekly about that property. And the talk is about a housing development.
Oh,
So,
so I guess
it'll be something that won't, it'll be more units than nine, so it'll be something that will have to come to you as a you know, a regular type of application. But yeah, that's what's been talked about for it.
Are people broaching the fact that about alternative heating sources at all?
They don't usually
No.
talk to us about that. They might talk to the building official about that, but not, we don't
Okay.
usually hear any of that on our end. I'm sorry, Ellie, go ahead.
For the summary review, I don't feel like I could come up with a list of specific things just because I don't know enough, but I could come up with a list of like broad themes that are important to me. Is would that be useful? Like if
Will be
we
a starting point.
came up with like
It will be
some
a starting point.
like it's important that I don't know if the facade looks like this or that it doesn't look like this. Like that is
Yes.
good enough to start the discussion. Okay.
Yes.
And what is the time frame for this?
We probably have to, well, that's also an issue. The way the statute is written, some have read that it has to be done by July 1st.
Oh.
Others have read that anything that happens after July 1st has to meet the state requirement. So what we are going to do is we're just going to do what we're doing and get something into place, knowing that we may have to tweak it, or as we use it, we may want to change it. We may get something we really like and decide that's what we want to push, or you may get something you really don't like at all and you want to remove that from the way you're looking at things. Mike and I have both talked about the fact that I don't think there's, developers standing in line at the Bolton Town line waiting for us to do this. So I'm
Okay.
not that concerned, but we should try to get something in place at least so that if somebody does come in, you've got something to go by. So that's what we're working on. So, right now we've got, these kind of three pages here. The standards thing that we've sort of outlined of the things you might want to think about, and then just sort of the different type of building types and some sort of pretty pictures so that people have an idea. We have something similar to this in our regulations already in the design guidelines at the end of the zoning regulations. So pictures always help.
So I have a follow-up question that kind of piggybacks a little bit off of some prior discussions, especially what Marilee just brought up about building and trying to build units efficiently. So when they're looking at the cost benefit, profit cost analysis, considering converting versus building new. And I'm going to preface the next part of this by saying I think I just know a little bit, just enough to be a little bit dangerous to myself. Would it also be possible, and Patrice, I'm going to ask you, have you seen situations where a particular developer would also be considering modular pre-built prefab buildings where they can kind of bring in prefabricated pieces of a building and assemble it on site? As a possibility.
Yep. And we allow that.
Okay.
It's it's not stick built, it's stick built in a factory somewhere, but yeah, we allow that.
I'm just thinking that potentially could be a little bit of cost savings there, especially if those units were built prior to today's construction cost.
I think another item that you could maybe discuss is slab versus foundation, full foundation. I think there's a cost, less cost to obviously build a slab or maybe even a crawl space, I don't know, versus a full foundation. And you could allow things to be built on a slab. Sometimes it creates a storage issue. I don't think it creates a fire. It's more of a fire code issue if you have adjoining basements, right, Tom? If the
Yes.
basement runs continuously under the
That's
entire
correct.
unit, that's a problem. So, you might allow for slab construction versus full foundation. That would be a cost savings, and it would also maybe help in the code.
So this build Doesn't apply if you have over 9 minutes, or is it also, is it just like it still applies, but it's separate?
Well, it's by site plan review, which is different than as of right.
Right.
When you have site plan review, it's my understanding that you can put conditions on it that aren't necessarily in the code, in the regulation. Whereas when it's as of right, you can't add anything. You meet the criteria, you get approval.
Okay.
And if there's somebody who's going to want to get around the site plan, they're going to do it in nine increment buildings. So.
Part of the reason I was asking was because I've noticed that in other towns where they've started building, they've also done these kind of mixed commercial properties. And I don't know if that from a planning perspective, if that's something that, we have the ability to kind of encourage, or if that's something we would even want to.
Well, that's one of the things we got rid of. And the reason was we were requiring a business component when you built the housing. And nobody wanted to do it. They just if they wanted to build housing, they wanted to build housing, and they didn't want to be, renting to commercial
So,
property.
and we heard about cost on that. We heard about a couple of people told us they couldn't get financing for a mixed use like that, which I'm not sure I believe because you see it happen all over the place. But we heard
Well, it
about
might be a
that.
Bolton.
What was that?
Might be a Bolton issue.
Oh, maybe.
You might not be able to get financing to do that in Bolton.
Maybe. We still allow mixed use, but now you don't have to put it on top of, you can put it on a lot, on a commercial lot with it, the buildings separate or next to each other. You just don't have to put it on top of it. So we do still allow for that, Eric.
Okay. Yeah, I was thinking like Turnpike. There's a couple of developments that have gone up where they, built kind of commercial like restaurants and things in front, and then they put the housing towards the back, so they kind of had this mix. So like, if you could walk to there, like the restaurant from your new apartment or whatever. So,
Well,
but since these are commercials, some of this that we're discussing is commercial zones.
if you want to hear my little fantasy, is that I grew up when the building on 44 right across the Coventry line was a grocery store. And that would be, the footprint of like an Aldi store, kind of thing. It wouldn't be in Bolton, it'd be in Coventry, but it would certainly, I think, be an asset to the whole neighborhood over there. And if there was housing there, that would be even better, kind of thing. But not only for grocery shopping, but for jobs. So that's my fantasy. This is what I dream of at night.
Okay, sorry, one more question. So
Please.
if I have thoughts around this, what is the, do you want me to wait till the next meeting to bring them? What is the right next step for me to?
I would prefer if you guys could come visit and talk it out, or
Yeah.
send me something in writing, or email it, or whatever. And we can gather. I should have probably continued my sharing here. Let me just show you what else we have sort of
Well, there's more.
on the burner, if you will. So we got this. So this is the sort of the building and site materials, or site requirements. So here's your different roof styles, if that matters to you. These
It
are
does.
common architectural details and treatments, again, if that matters. So you've got, how the units are configured, roof types, building elements, those kind of things. And so that, these are the kinds of things. If you care about these things, we need to set them some sort of standard for them. If you don't care and you want to just roll the dice and see what developers bring, you can do that as well. I mean, there's nothing saying you have to create all of these things. It's just a matter of what you is important to the commission, what you could live with versus what you really need to have in order to have a housing project. And this is the other thing we do probably want to think about, is just parking and location, building orientation, landscaping and design, lighting, that sort of thing. So those are the these are the things we've been sort of trying to think about, if you will, to create sort of a form-based regulation, I guess, which would just be basically a set of standards that you need to have in order for somebody to do this. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah.
Can you send this out as
Yeah,
a
I can send those slides out to you. Sure.
yes, yeah, send it out as a PDF. Yeah, that would
Okay.
be good.
I mean, does it make sense to do like a subcommittee or even, I mean, if everybody here cares about it, you could definitely just make the subcommittee the real committee, but it seems like with the deadline quickly approaching, it might make sense to meet about this
Or have
outside.
a, or have a special meeting.
Yeah, that too. It's an option.
Let's think about that. If this has to go into, we want to try to get it for July 1st, and we're doing it at the June meeting. Now, is this going to have to be, do we have to hold a public hearing for
Yes, you do.
this?
Yeah, because you're adopting a regulation. I'm pretty sure
Okay.
it's not, you're not just adopting a set of standards. It has to be part of the zoning regulations. I
Okay,
mean,
so we, all right, so at this meeting we just approved regulations going into effect on June 1st. Can we do that at the June meeting for July 1st? Will that work with what the rules are?
so my. What you could do is you could at your June meeting you can make your decisions on what you want to do, and we can either hold a special meeting if we need to, or you could just hold your public hearing and what have you on the 8th of July and do it that night. I don't know. I have no idea if there will be, and maybe you all do because you live in the community, but I have no idea if there would be any blowback to any of this. Do you think people, how do you think people in the community will receive this kind of thing? Well, that's why I ask, because we hear it differently as a staff. People come in all the time and talk about all kinds of different things, but I never know who's going to show up to a public meeting. And a perfect example of this for me is when Mike Bugnacki had his commercial development approved on Loomis Road. There were six commercial units, and there was I don't a little bit contentious public hearing with the couple of neighbors that were right there. And they were assured about the drainage and the buffers and all of that. And he came in, I don't know how long after that, Tom, do you remember? Is it a year? Maybe he came in
Yeah,
and
about a
decided he
year. Yeah.
couldn't put commercial in there. So he wanted to turn those six commercial units into six senior housing units. Now, in my mind, that's an easy conversion. If I'm a neighbor, I'm like, oh, yeah, I'd rather have six senior units there than six, God knows what kind of commercial business is there. But, and they came out in force for that conversion to the housing. And
There are
there were more of them. It wasn't just the direct people. And
there there there
I was shocked. I really have to say, sometimes things you just don't see it coming. So I don't know if any of you have a feel for any of this. I don't even know how much people in the community know about what this.
they don't, they really aren't thinking about it. And so I try periodically to put things out there, just drop it, as a comment here and there to get people thinking about it. I'm afraid that there's a certain population in this town that is very reactionary to any change at all. And therefore, and there's the ones that scream, we'll lose our character, whatever that is. And also the other thing is my property values, oh, but there's a growing population of realists, I think, that are coming out of the same group because now they are in their elder years and they're finding the housing situation to be difficult and they don't know what to do. So if we were providing some alternatives to that that they could realize, they might put their interests a little bit ahead of the tradition and say, this is something that's needed for me. And it's true, that's a big motivator, but also it is, I think there's a general idea that it's going to happen, I guess. They just don't want the speed, and this will be fast, and this is going to shake up a lot of people. And if they miss this change that's coming along, they'll say, unfair, unfair, we were hoodwinked or whatever kind of thing. So that's an element that you have. But I don't care.
Again, keeping in mind now, this does not really affect everywhere in town.
Oh,
We're talking about commercial and mixed use
yeah.
zones. So you're not, which, a lot of the rural towns, I was one of the people that spoke up about this. We have less than 2% of our land in town that is zoned for industrial and commercial use. And it's in the areas on the streets that you'd want it. You want direct access to a state road and a highway. It works great that
Yeah.
way. And now they're saying because of this, now you're going to lose. You may. I again, I don't see a line waiting at the Bolton line ready to come in and put housing
Yeah.
everywhere, but you're going to lose some of your commercially zoned property because of it. So, whether or not that,
Well, it's
how that affects things, I don't know.
the thing is that we don't see people lining up for that because there are many things that you should know. You'd probably told them why the Deans can't rebuild there has to do with water suppression. I mean, fire suppression. They're going to need a water source that they do not have in order to build, rebuild, and they're not anywhere close to a public water source, and they do not have a water source that they can maintain for water suppression requirements that are going to be for that factory. And unless you're on already established lines, so that's that infrastructure. Back when the roads were all laid out, back in the 16 and 1700s, people weren't thinking about that kind of thing, kind of stuff. The good land was gone long ago. The land that is left for building is a challenge. It's either too wet or too rocky. The good stuff that's left is all along the corridors. Industry is shrinking, let's face it. We're not going to, there's not going to be some big factory moving in here.
Not factory, but there's a lot of warehousing.
There's a lot of warehousing, but I think there's a couple of things that might make Bolton attractive for that, but
We don't have the, we don't have parcels big enough for what they need. That's the part,
we
that's
don't have
what.
parcels big enough, but we don't have highways big enough. We do have 395. I know that, but
Oh no
if
no
they're
where
near 80,
where we've had that interest has
84.
been basically on Route 6, but the parcels, all the parcels that are available to do something like that, are just not big enough.
And are geologically challenging. They go off cliffs and things like that, kind of thing. So, I think that trying to get, I understand the tax situation where that's beneficial, but I think we're limited as far as commercial development. I think we have real limits. I think we should go for the housing and make this town a more, to give this town viability. I don't know. I fear for the future of our town as we age and we're not doing a backfill with young families. It really bothers me.
So I'm gonna keeping in mind pretty much the entire gist of Mayor Leet's comments. I do think that as the word gets out, especially with 8002 being such a big initiative for the state of Connecticut, overall, getting factors involved such as community voice channel, getting that awareness out. I do think in a public hearing, there would be people, willing to shed their opinions about housing development in Bolton.
And that's okay. But they have to understand that we have to allow by state law 2 to 9 units. And so what we're trying to do at this point is come up with a set of standards we can live with as a town.
And make it as positive. I'm tired of doomsayers. Make it as positive as possible. Our fire department suffers. Our schools suffer. Our quality of life suffers because we do not have a growing population. Now, I don't mean growing that it has to be larger. I mean a more diversified population as far as age goes. There's too many people like me. Is there any support from the state or from the CROG around messaging, like how to message this to the public? Because I feel like we need to be thinking about how we're going to frame this and how we're going to talk to people about it. Because
For this part of it, no. Come the end of the year when OPM comes up with its guidelines and hands them over to the CROGS and then we start that process, I'm sure there will be some messaging at that point. But for this process, they basically said, here it is. You guys figure it out, but this is what you got to do. That's pretty much how it is. And I will, Mike and I have talked about this too. Because as I started the conversation, you asked three different attorneys how to interpret this, you get three different reactions. There's going to be lawsuits, and there is going to be not in Bolton necessarily, but somebody's going to build something, or they're going to require something that they're not allowed to require, or whatever. And there's going to be a lawsuit over it. And as the lawsuits happen, the law will sort of come into focus as to, what you can and can't do, or what you've done wrong according to the law. But and even that, I don't even know how they're going to be able to figure that out because there's just so many. It's just wasn't a good law. Wasn't well written. So we'll see what happens. But I think for our part, I can send out those few slides with maybe a list of the standards you should think about. And if you guys want to get back to us, as soon as you can, it would be preferable. And we can throw something together and we can go from there. I don't know, unless you want to do this some other way, I think the form-based way might be the easiest way to do it.
If we're going to have a special interim meeting, does that have to be formal? Does it have to be posted anywhere?
Yes, if four of you meet, you have to have a meeting posting. And that's okay. Not a problem.
Marilee's question with our water concerns, how does that play into this whole thing? Are there commercial zones where there might be a struggle to have enough water or proper
For
sewage?
fire? For fire? Or for
No,
just.
just in general, for building residential units. Or is
I
all
don't
of
think
that?
Bolton does not have a water problem as far as providing water, like for potable water and wells. That does not seem to be an issue, but we don't have central, what am I trying to say? We don't have water running in the street so that you don't have fire protection and that thing. And I was going to ask you, Tom, is there a certain amount of units where you sprinklers become required in a building? Do you know
Well,
offhand?
it's more form. If you have a row of townhouses, sprinklers aren't required. You have three, you build one new building of 3 units. Yep, sprinklers.
All right. So that's gonna affect some of this too, because that's you just can't do it. If you want to try and put sprinklers in Bolton, you've got to create an underground tank or something because there's no water in the street.
Now, if you had a now, if you had just a 3-unit building, you might be able to get away with NFPA 13D, which is a just a plain residential sprinkler system. And so, it might not be the worst thing in the world.
Again, I think also the reason why you don't have a line of developers at the door who are going to want to do this. So I don't think we're in any kind of peril if we don't get this done by July 1st is all I'm saying there. So,
But at the same time,
but we need to get it done.
I would, and I would like to get the word out there that Bolton is open and ready for business too. That this is something where if you come here to develop, we have open ears. What I'm thinking of is a special meeting on Wednesday the 27th, then 2 weeks later, our regular meeting on the 10th.
Put you off here for a second. Wednesday the 27th.
Is that enough time to set up a public hearing for the? I forget the. I mean, there's. I know there's statutory requirements about
So the 10th I
posting.
would need the 10th I would need to advertise on the 5th and the 29th.
Well, then the 27th will work. If we've got,
I can ask Danielle tomorrow because I don't know how much lead time I can get the legal notice to her. I just don't know if the paper can publish it in time. So I'd have to ask her, or I could just set it up that way and get it into the paper, like send it in on Tuesday, hoping and praying that's what you all will decide. We could do it that way. I mean, if we know what we're, you know what you're heading for, is you want to hold a public hearing that night, and the hearing notice can be for changes to the for the changes to the state requirements for housing.
And by the time it was advertised, we would have it ready to go to the website, so it wouldn't have to be.
Yeah, the only problem I foresee right now, and I'm not sure, I gotta check this because I can tell you right now, there's n not going to be any town that's gonna have this stuff done by July 1st. It's just not gonna
But
happen.
it would be a feather in our cap if we
That's
did.
But there's a 30-day requirement to CROG. They don't, they don't always take 30 days, but there's a 30-day referral to them.
But
So.
still, can you imagine being first in line for anything? Still
So
trying to get a move forward.
I can check on that because I have to believe we have to do that. I mean, this is a zoning regulation change. This is not it has to go through the process of the change. And I don't think there's anything in that statute that exempts it from any of that.
Okay. Exciting times. All right, and I'll try to put something together about how the building code is going to affect this, because I talked about how the energy code affects the envelope, but there's also a requirement for new buildings. You don't just meet the code about the insulation and the energy efficiency of the mechanical units and so on. Now you have to get 15 points of extra stuff that you have to do, and photovoltaic plays a big part in that. I don't think we're going to have to say, oh, you have to have solar as part of this. I think they're going to end up as doing have to do it as part of that. But we just
Just
something
building
simple
code.
as if you cite it, put a broad swath of roofing pointed south. That alone would be something, wouldn't it? So I think we'll, based on what we've talked about, we can come up with in the next couple of weeks something to that we can start thinking about.
Yeah, that would be good. That'd be good. And I will get a I'll just check on the process. I'm pretty sure I'm right on that, but I will check on it and make sure and send you out the PDF of the slides and maybe a list of the types of things to think about so you may have stuff already in your head, but you can just check the boxes and some of it may you may care about and some of them you might not. So
Good. Thank you.
yeah, no problem. I think that's a good start of it. We can go from there. I think, eventually I would like to see, and this is probably got to wait until after whatever happens in December and the way the town goes with regard to the OPM and the CROG process at the end. But I would love to see us just create a housing section in the zoning regulations, because you've got housing in different areas of the regs. You've got the open space cluster housing, you've got the traditional multifamily, you've got the traditional multifamily senior housing, you've got the housing specs are in another section. It just kind of be nice to have a housing section and maybe a table that says where you can do what, and then what the guidelines and the criteria, the bulk table is for that. And then from there, I just think it would be a lot easier to try and find. I say that because right now we were looking at the regulations for the cider mill property, and in trying to make them fit, you got to be sure that you're not doing something that you need to then change another regulation, because it's conflicting then. So it'd be easier if it all was kind of all in one place.
Is the 27th going to be at 7:30? That was the idea. Okay.
Okay, so that's a special meeting on you
Special
want to
meeting.
do on May 27th, right? Okay, and so because it's a special meeting, you can't add anything to the agendas, and there's no public participation. So, do you want to just do discussion of the housing bill? Is that broad enough for what you want to talk about?
Yes.
Okay.
Public can't talk.
Public cannot talk in a special
I thought
meeting.
the charter said that they have to, if the public can talk at every meeting. I thought that charter says that.
You want me to pull out my charter copy and read it?
The charter can say whatever it wants, but a special meeting statute does not allow for public input.
Over statute overrides.
Yeah. You're going to have a public hearing, and that's when your public can.
Yeah.
And the public should know this by now, but the public can always come in and talk to staff. And if they have questions or issues, or they want to write to us, or they want to call us, or they want to meet with us, we're there and anytime.
Let's see.
You want to do 7:30, I assume?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Right.
My compatriots will be surprised. And lacking Jim, we have Kwan.
Chairman, I make a motion to close the P&Z Commission May 13, 2026 meeting.
Oh, is there a second?
I will second that.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? No, the meeting is adjourned at 8:55.
Jim Crawford now saying, "I don't go for one meeting. I miss one meeting. What the heck is happening?" That's a sign from